Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's Wednesday morning, and today we are looking at world news as the start of our program, inshallah al-Aziz, taking a look at different stories around the world, and thereafter, inshallah, we will go on to our discussion on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the shama'il, special characteristics of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with Mawlana Ahmad Chahan. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
ANC Fabric and Bridal Center has a winning combination of luxurious and sophisticated fabrics. Let us transport you in style with our luxurious fabrics. Our haberdashery department has the latest accessories. Visit our bridal department for the evening wear fabrics from the masters of design. Unique and individually styled beaded pure silks and tulles from the most talented creators of fashion. 5 Pelican Avenue, Linasia, 011-852-4910. ANC, usually unusual fabrics.
Contact Linasia Livestock and Poultry for all sadaqa and hakika requirements. We offer clean, hygienic abattoir style and refrigeration facilities. Sheep, goats and cows are available at competitive market-related prices, direct to the public. We slaughter, slice and distribute on your behalf. Kom praat met ons vir 'n goeie deal. Ons kan iets vir jou uitwerk. Linasia Livestock and Poultry. Livestock is our business. We are SANA approved. Telephone 011-857-177.
Radio Islam signed a code of conduct with the BCCSA. Under that code, we are committed to news that is accurate, comment that is fair, and programs that are not harmful to children. Does not amount to hate speech, the description of gratuitous violence, or explicit sex. If you think we are not living up to that code, inform the BCCSA. Direct any complaints in writing to BCCSA, PO Box 412-365, Craig Hall 2024. Email bccsa@napsa.co.za. Please note our new address and telephone numbers. Block number 8, Burnside Island Office Park, 410 Jan Smuts Avenue, Craig Hall 2196. Telephone number 011-326-3130. Fax number 011-326-3197. For more information, visit bccsa.co.za.
Mom, I'm hungry.
The food is not done yet, my love, but I have a killer fragrant rice in the meantime.
Wow, Mom, this rice is so soft, fluffy, and smells lovely.
Yes, my child, this is the purest fragrant rice that you'll ever find.
For more info on Akila Fragrant Rice, call Flavor Foods on 011-493-2397 or visit www.akila.co.za. That's A-K-I-L-A. We also stock a wide range of rice, beans and sugar in our warehouse in City Deep, Johannesburg.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Maulana Junaid Jassat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. Live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Maulana Yahya Bam, Maulana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
It's just gone 11 minutes after 11. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. A few stories doing the headlines around the world, particularly the Russian airstrikes in Syria. And that's drawing a lot of attention since last week, since the airstrikes started. And looking at the latest headline in Al Jazeera, Russian airstrikes in Syria caused civilian deaths, at least 4 dead and dozens injured, in attacks in Hama province and in areas bordering Idlib province. Activists say civilian deaths are being reported from apparent airstrikes by Russian fighter jets in the Syrian province of Hama and in areas bordering the Idlib province. Russian forces carried out the airstrikes today in addition to targeting anti-government armed groups with surface-to-surface missiles, said the UK-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. And these airstrikes that are carried out by Russia, there's different reports and different take on where these strikes are falling, whether they are actually hitting ISIS targets or whether they are hitting civilian targets, and what the whole thing is all about. The reality is that we don't have any verifiable information with regards to these airstrikes and with regards to where they are actually falling, so there's no possibility of making a proper observation at the moment, and especially with regards to whatever is happening around the world in terms of politics, etc. Very murky, very shady, very grey, and who is in bed with whom, who is working and who is allying with who, and all of that is very shady area, and unfortunately the casualties in this whole thing are the Muslims and are the people of Syria. They are really going through difficulties, suffering. Lives have been uprooted, lives have been lost, and you know, there seems to be no regard for their lives at all. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them all, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide the legitimate leaders to what is the truth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove all those who are illegitimate from leadership and from rule, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the people of Syria. So that is the issue that is faced by the Syrian people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide and protect them all. Taking a look at another story coming up on world headlines. Coming from Saudi Arabia, young Saudi woman becoming involved in blackmail. What's this all about? More and more young Saudi women are found involved in blackmailing men and extorting money, with some even boasting about their successes on social media. This is the latest phenomenon haunting society. Local newspapers are publishing stories about women blackmailers in the kingdom almost daily. Experts blame the lack of religious sentiments, paid friends, lack of monitoring by family, internet and BlackBerry for the spread of problems. So this legal expert Hadi Al-Yami said that blackmailing is when somebody gets something they don't deserve by threatening someone else, or using their weak points or threatening to reveal information or secrets about them unless they respond to the blackmailer's demand. He added that this can destroy a person. Yami stressed that the Article 3 of the criminal law states that whoever publishes an internet recording with the intention of defaming others could be sentenced up to 1 year in jail or fined up to 500,000 rials. And so, this is probably a situation when men are getting involved with women, and the videos are taken or pictures are taken, and now those women threaten to release it to those men's families or legitimate wives, and so they are being blackmailed, and this is as a result of promiscuity in the first place, similar to that Ashley Madison issue that came up in the US. And so what we need to know, that the best protection from all of this is abstinence. That is the best protection from all, and you will never get involved in any problems or difficulties if you abstain and if you stay away. The next story, also out of Saudi Arabia. Headline says, when faithful missed Friday prayer because Imam overslept. Worshippers at the mosque in Ha'il had to offer regular prayer on Friday instead of the weekly Friday prayer because the Imam in Al-Burj failed to show up. After waiting for the Imam, the worshippers decided to offer a regular Dhuhr prayer. The Imam, it was found out, had overslept, and it was too late to find a substitute by the time he woke up. The Muezzin at the mosque led the worshippers for the noon prayer without a Friday sermon. Worshippers voiced their displeasure about missing the Friday prayer. Omar al-Haddad, the head of the department under the Ministry of Islamic Affairs in the region, said necessary action would be taken. The Imam was criticized, but some people also critical of the group of worshippers for failing to find someone to deliver a short sermon. That is a really, really strange occurrence that has taken place in that particular place. I wonder if it may be just because it's people who are not really educated, is that something like this has happened. What is the actual reason that something like this could have taken place? That the Imam didn't come, and so they didn't perform the Jumu'ah, they just performed Dhuhr Salah instead. And you know, Arabic speaking people, many learned people, there must be other Huffaz or other learned people there, And they could have delivered a short sermon and performed the Jumu'ah Salah. It wasn't a difficult issue. It wasn't a complicated issue at that. So it's quite a strange occurrence that has taken place there. And then, sad story coming out of Mozambique. Many of you have heard of the Flamingo Bay Lodge that is in Inhambane province. You have the Barra Lodge and you have the Flamingo Bay Lodge. And the other one, I don't remember what it is, but they were all in one company. They used to advertise in the Getaway magazine. And when we visited Mozambique quite a few years back, we visited the Barra Lodge. We couldn't get to Flamingo Bay because of lack of four-wheel drive vehicle. But it was a beautiful lodge set on stilts over the bay. Absolutely stunning, absolutely beautiful lodge if you look at the pictures. And on Saturday, this entire lodge burned to the ground. And there were no injuries reported, but some of the guests lost belongings and clothes and laptops. Most of them were out watching the Rugby World Cup, but there was this 20 rooms or 20 chalets there, built on stilts, and it's a beautiful setting, and unfortunately this entire lodge burnt down to the water. And well, it's a sad thing that has taken place, and really puts many of the locals out of employment. That is the seriousness, the issue that comes out of something like this happening. And yes, we need to be very careful of how we fire safety, etc., and how we manage things and how we manage issues. Some people are accusing it. Accusing the locals and accusing the employees of sabotage, but that hasn't been verified as yet. So that is the issue that has taken place there. It brings us now to 11:20, and we take a little break. Inshallah Aziz, when we come back, we'll be speaking about the Shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and welcome to our guest this morning, Mawlana Ahmad Chauhan. Mawlana Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, Mawlana.
Very well, alhamdulillah, Allah shukr, Mawlana Sahib. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah.
Mawlana, we looking at the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the characteristics, Shama'il of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps we could just recap and continue with the discussion, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners of Radio Islam International. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmuduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala rasulil kareem amma ba'd. For some time now we have been speaking about the Mubarak etiquette and habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sublime example insofar as eating is concerned. Just to do a little recap, that we had begun with washing the hands before we eat and also after we eat, and also when we have finished eat, we also lick the utensil. And then before eating, we say Bismillah, and the importance of Bismillah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in the Bismillah that a person puts into reads when one is eating, and the shaitan does not eat with that person. And then the next we did was the sunnah of eating with the right hand and not to eat with the left hand. And also when we eat, if there is one kind of food, then we eat the food that is directly in front of us, and our hands do not roam around the utensil or the plate that we are eating from. And when we have completed eating, then we clean the utensil with our fingers, and thereafter we lick our hands. And also our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that we should eat as far as possible with three fingers, but if there is some kind of necessity, then obviously a person can eat with his four or five fingers. And then also morsels that fall off the plate, we should try and clean them up and also eat it. And then wiping the hands and washing the hands after we had eaten, and all this, the very beautiful sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then obviously when we eat, we should try as far as possible to sit down on the floor and eat, and also to use a dastarkhan or a maida or a tablecloth that should be put down on the floor before we eat. And obviously Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved to sit down on the floor and eat, and it has never been narrated that he had eaten in any other way. Today we go on with other aspects of eating, and that is when we sit, how shouldn't we sit and how should we sit. Now here, because many of us may not be accustomed to sitting on the floor, an upfront warning, or rather a reminder that we should try as far as possible to emulate the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But together with that, if we are unable to do so because of any difficulties whatsoever, we should at least keep the Sunnah in mind and be very regretful and very remorseful that we are unable to fulfill the Mubarak Sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I think what we will start with today is how we shouldn't sit down and eat. In other words, what we should keep away from and what we should refrain from. And the first thing that we will speak about is to refrain from leaning against something whilst eating, because this was not the sunnah of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a matter of fact, it is very well emphasized in the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the one hand, we find a hadith of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he narrates a direct prohibition from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that do not lean or do not recline when you are eating. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also himself said that he also does not recline, because we find in one hadith, Hazrat Abu Juhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I do not lean and eat. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates a little important aspect with regards to it, and he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I am a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because I am a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I eat as a servant eats and I drink as a servant drinks. Now when we analyze this hadith, then we will find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is using this word servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is also synonymous to being a humble servant of Allah, a humble slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one should humble himself in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that humility should show out in these kind of actions. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Busr radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, once I presented some mutton to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he commenced eating it whilst he was seated in a squatting position. I will discuss the squatting position a little later. A Bedouin remarked that it was a strange way to sit. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me a noble servant, not a conceited and arrogant one. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has actually drawn the parallel of a person sitting in a manner that one is reclined, and reclining means, like for example, a person reclines his back against something, he leans against something on his back, or sometimes the right hand or the left hand on the right hand side, maybe sometimes the right hand side against a wall or the left hand side against a wall, or leaning on the right hand or the left hand, or even some of the ulama have expressed that sitting cross-legged would also refer to one that is leaning, and hence Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has in actual fact prohibited all this, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discouraged it, because he says that these are the practices of people who are conceited. And a Muslim who is engaging in his meals, who is eating, is regarded as one who is in an act of worship, one who is in an act of ibadat. And obviously any ibadat requires a great deal of humility. Now, the hadith of Imam Abu Dawud rahimahumullah states that on one occasion dates were presented to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consumed whilst he was leaning on something. But many of the muhaddithin, the first to the scholars of hadith, those that would interpret the hadith or rather explain the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say that at that time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was weak because of prolonged starvation, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even have that amount of strength by which he could sit without taking the aid of something or without leaning against something. So hence Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaned when there was a valid excuse or a valid reason. But under normal circumstances, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself did not lean, and nor did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like anyone else to lean against something else. So hence these are hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is very, very evident that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat in a manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not lean against anything. Then some of the ulama, like Ibn Qayyim rahimahumullah, they actually speak about the reasons why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not lean. One, we understand that is from the humility point of view, and the other is that they say that it is difficult for the food to reach the stomach. In other words, not very easy for the food to reach the stomach, and obviously this can create chronic diseases later in the life of an individual. So one is requested and one is directed in the hadith to abstain from such ways that will create difficulties in the long term. Now obviously again, if a person is unable to sit in a manner that is prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then obviously that person will be excused because of some valid reason. Then that person should again remember that the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the ultimate, and one should strive and one should hope and try to gain this sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one's life. But the ulama has written from the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that we discussed already, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, the way he sat was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to squat. In other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to squat in a very unique manner, in that Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi writes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit on his posterior and place the sole of the left leg on the Mubarak right leg. He used to squat in a manner in which his posterior used to sit on his posterior, and he used to place the sole of the left leg on the Mubarak right foot, and this was also done out of humility. And in the same token, they say that it is a very beneficial way of eating, and in fact a person will not overindulge in that way. The second way in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat was he would sit like how men would sit in the at-tahiyyat position, and he would raise the right leg, and he used to keep the left leg down. He used to raise the right leg, and he should keep the left leg down, and in this manner Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit and eat. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps some ideas that flow through the mind at this time, that it may be difficult for us to do that, to sit in that tahiyyat position and then raise the right leg. So if that is difficult to do it for the entire duration of the meal, then perhaps we should start off sitting that way and make a niyat in our heart, Ya Allah, this is the way your beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sat, and I am emulating Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but because of difficulties I will not be able to maintain it, but Allah, you give me the tawfiq, you give me the ability to do so, and inshallah at least we will be rewarded for the intention, and at least we will be also working towards a specific goal. Number two is this, that if we are unable to sit down in this manner at all, then we sit in a comfortable manner, but at the same time we also express in our hearts to ourselves obviously the regret and the remorse that we are unable to sit in the Mubarak manner that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sat. So those are the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insofar as the way in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sat down to eat. Now, another prohibition when one is eating, and that is to stand and eat, is also prohibited in the hadith. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited eating while standing. Now, today it has become fashion, especially when people at barbecues, braais, etc., we tend to stand and eat, and there is really no reason for us to stand and eat. If chairs are not available, obviously the better option was always to put the dastarkhan on the floor and to sit down and eat, because this is how we will be eating. Now, when, especially when we stand and eat and we walk around, then there is no difference between us and the way animals partake of their rosy and sustenance that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has granted to them. But obviously, we will find that if a person is maybe munching on some dried fruit, etc., and the person walks from one place to another, then that will not be regarded as being against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, the places in which we eat, we should be cautious. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Hazrat Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eating in shopping centers is despicable. That is not a place for a person to eat. A person should eat in a designated area in which food or meals are being served, and one should sit down and eat in the manner that we have described. Another sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is removing one's shoes when one is eating. As Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if food is offered to anyone or anyone whilst he is wearing his shoes, he should remove them, as this is more comforting to the feet. And obviously, when one is comfortable, one is at ease, then inshallah the digestion process also will be an easier process. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remove your shoes at mealtime, as it is more soothing to the feet. So removing one's shoes is obviously much, much more comfortable for a person whilst one is eating, and obviously again to make the niyat of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also very, very important. Now, when one sits down on the floor, then the general thing is that the shoes will be taken off, so there is no problem. But if one is not granted the tawfiq of sitting on the floor and one is sitting on a chair or a stool, then obviously one should not forget to remove one's shoes and fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next part of the discussion is the food when it is served to us. Now, sometimes the food has just been freshly cooked, and the food sometimes is piping hot, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited us from eating piping hot food. However, we find that food that is warm, that is the food that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had eaten, he cherished it, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also spoken about it. Now, in the one hadith, we find that Hazrat Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala narrates that she used to cover the food that she had prepared so that it would cool down. She would say, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, this increases its blessings. So on the one hand, the food should not be piping hot, but whilst it is warm, or whilst it is getting cool, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha used to cover the food even then. Now, if for any reason we have to open the utensil or the container in which it is, then do not open it fully, but keep it a little bit closed so that we will be able to follow this pattern of Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed that steaming food should only be consumed once it has reached a suitable temperature. A suitable temperature will be once it is edible. There is no danger of a person burning one's hands or fingers or mouth or lips or anything like that, and then that person should eat. Hazrat Juwayriya radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked food that was still steaming. He only ate it after all traces of the steam had vanished, and the steam is just a yardstick to go by. But the important aspect is that one should never be uncomfortable when one is eating the food, that it should not be uncomfortably hot for a person. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reports that one steaming food was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stretched his Mubarak hands towards it, and immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam retracted his Mubarak hands, saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made fire for our consumption. That the food was so hot that it was as hot as fire, if you may use the term, and hence that food, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, we eat it, and it didn't make fire for us to eat. Then we find another narration in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, allow food to cool down, a steaming food is void of barakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withdraws that barakah. And we will also find that when some food was presented to Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, she would instruct that it be covered and left for a while. She would only eat it after the steam had vanished, saying that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that cooler food is abundant in barakah. So from these ahadith, we can understand that there is a prohibition to eat extremely hot food, which would burn the hands or the mouth, and it is quite evident from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has not granted me fire for consumption, so we should take heed. However, on the other hand, sometimes a person may be in the habit of drinking herbal teas, which is obviously more beneficial to the drinker when it is hot, then there will be no restriction or prohibition upon that person. But again, one cannot drink that tea that is so hot that it would burn the mouth or burn the lips of the individual, because there it is going to be more harm. So one should let it cool down to an acceptable temperature, and then one should drink it. Now, when the food is moderately hot, then obviously it is permissible, like we find in the hadith of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that once hot food was presented to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate it, and after eating it, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he remarked, many days have passed since hot food had entered my belly. Many days have passed since hot food has entered my belly, and such was the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, also very important, that sometimes we begin to blow into the food to try to cool the food down, and we find that that also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had discouraged, and he had never done. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not breathe into a vessel, nor did he blow into it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not breathe into a vessel, nor did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blow into it. I think the breathing and the blowing you will understand that when food is absolutely hot, a person wants to blow that food, you should try and refrain from that. But the breathing is more, especially when one is drinking something, then one tends to breathe in the utensil. Little children are very fond of doing that, and we should try and teach them the practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Salim radiallahu ta'ala, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbidden one to eat whilst lying on one's stomach. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbidden one to eat whilst lying on one's stomach. Now the disadvantage of eating in this posture is quite evident, and obviously it is a very unnatural way for a person to eat, for any human to eat actually, and hence one should keep away. Then we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also speaking about a very, very important aspect, and that is that Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not leave out the evening meal, even if you have to eat a handful of dates, as omitting the evening meal speeds up old age. This hadith is in Tirmidhi Sharif also, that never omit the evening meal, even if you have to eat a handful of dates, as omitting the evening meal speeds up old age. Now here, some very important aspects is that we know sometimes after we have partaken of the evening meal, we will maybe perform our salat, or we will make some ibadah or zikr or whatever it may be, and then we are soon going to go to sleep. So obviously one should not overindulge on the one hand, and on the other hand, one should not skip out the evening meal. So even if it is a little bit of kajur that a person eats, or whatever it may be that's available to a person, just to eat it and to understand that not doing so may create weakness within a person, because now the entire night one is going to sleep, and obviously there is no way that a person can nourish one's body at that time. So a little bit of partaking of something at night will also be a very, very good idea under the ambit of this hadith. Then we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam examined sometimes the food or whatever was consumed before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consumed it. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once old age were presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam examined the date to extract any insect which may have been in the date. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown us a very, very important aspect, and we don't just like vacuum cleaners just indiscriminately put everything and anything in our mouth, but we should first examine the kind of food that we are eating, especially like if we look at old dates, sometimes tend to have maybe some insects or worms, and hence Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take the precaution. And also at the same time, we will understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown us such a beautiful way of life. So whether it is some fruit or whatever it may be, we should examine it if we are not sure. The last discussion that we have is about criticizing food. Today it has become norm and practice, especially amongst our younger ones, to criticize food. People will have the criticisms about the meat of Qurbani, for example, and people will say what they have to say. But one should never criticize food, because we find in the hadith, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never criticized food. If he felt hungry, he would eat the food, and if he disliked it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam abstained from it. So even though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have not liked a certain kind of food, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would just merely abstain from it. And I think a very beautiful example of this in the hadith, we find that when Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu took the food to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the very early days of the hijrat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all aware that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu's wife had cooked the food, and in it there was some garlic, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously did not participate or did not partake of the food. He did not eat because of the garlic, that he was the recipient of wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was that personality to whom Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam would come down, and raw garlic leaves a bad odor in the mouth. So what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam merely left the food. He didn't eat it, he didn't touch it, and he sent the food back. And Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he had seen that the food was uneaten, then he queried. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him in a very, very nice manner that this is food that I do not eat. But he didn't kick up a fuss, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't make a noise about it. And sometimes there are certain foods that we are unable to eat, perhaps because of health reasons. Sometimes there may be just a natural disinclination towards certain types of food, and when that is served, obviously we should keep away from it. But if we just take a typical scenario in our homes, that if the person that is cooking knows that some people who partake of the food naturally dislike it or disagrees with them, or the person cannot eat the food because of health reasons, then obviously we should also refrain from cooking such foods, or otherwise we make alternate arrangements for those individuals, so everybody is happy and everybody is satiated and everybody is able to eat their food. So these were some of the sunnahs of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just going through it very, very quickly is the manner in which we sit down to eat. One thing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited us from, and that is reclining against anything, whether it is the back against the wall, whether it is the back against the back of the chair, whether it is the back against any cushion, or we sit on the floor and we recline on one of the hands, the left hand, more than likely it will be the left hand. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked it. Also, cross-legged was something that some of the ulama have written that comes within the ambit of this hadith. And then the sunnah method of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would squat. The posterior of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be on the ground. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take his Mubarak left leg sole and place it on the right foot, and hence Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would eat in that manner, or alternatively to sit in the at-tahiyyat position and raise the right leg up. That was also the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Standing and eating, there is a prohibition in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we should keep away from it. Removing one's shoes when one eats, we find that there are some hadith that make mention of this, so that is something that we should take and put into practice. And then eating extremely hot food, piping hot food, that will burn a person, rather we wait for it to cool down. The hadith states how cool, that much that the vapor or from the food stops, and then we can start eating the food, and then blowing the food and breathing in the utensil has also been prohibited by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lying down on one's stomach is absolutely a bad habit, and also prohibited in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, do not skip the evening meal, but that doesn't mean that we should overindulge in the evening. We can just have a light snack or a light meal that will be left to our own discretion. Then we found that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would examine the food that he eats, and the last we discussed is do not criticize the food, as it is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and the ability to follow the sunnah practice of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.